Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 21 through 28 as the beginning of our text today. However, we will also expand our attention to some other verses in the closing part of this chapter. Mark 1, verses 21 through 28. Lord, look upon us as we look at your word. Open our minds. Sow your seed within the ground that you have prepared. Bless us, Lord, that we might produce the fruit that you call upon us to produce and that you expect of us. I pray, Father, that that fruit would be found in our praise, as the writer of the words of the hymn that we've just sung, may all our works be praised. May it be in our growth, in faithfulness and obedience. May we also see it, Lord, as you add unto us daily such as should be saved. Keep us in your care and mercy. Enlighten our minds and hearts. Strengthen our walk and our witness in this world. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region of Galilee. And brothers and sisters, this reads Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. And as we've read this, you'll find on at least two different occasions an expression, a similar expression, that is the basis for the title of the study sheet that's in the bulletin this morning, "One That Had Authority." And we've looked at the last verses, or the previous verses, and Jesus had been teaching in the area of Galilee. He had gone from Galilee, from Nazareth, down to the Jordan River where John was baptizing. He was baptized of John and then returned after, he left that area and was led of the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And that expression in itself is specified in the scripture, separating him from the Pharisees who had the practice of fasting. When they would fast, it was from sun up to sundown. You know, they could eat all night long, but had quit when the sun came up. And they couldn't eat till the sun went down, then they could start again. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted the entirety of that time, and the scripture reminds us that he was an hungered. He was tempted of Satan. He resisted those temptations three times. The Bible tells us that then he returned unto Galilee. He returned to the area around the Sea of Galilee. He taught in town. He taught in synagogues. He taught along the side of the sea. He even borrowed a fishing boat and spoke to a multitude that followed him. He called Peter and Andrew and James and John. And he said that he would make them to become fishers of men. Our text verse begins when it says, "And they went into Capernaum." Now, Capernaum was one of the larger cities on the Sea of Galilee. It was on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. And it also happened to be the hometown of Peter and Andrew, James and John. They left from the sea and the area around the edge, and they went into town. I mention that because sometimes things happen in transition in the scriptures, and they're spoken of briefly, and sometimes we can miss the importance of it. But I want you to notice today in what's about to unfold that it says that they went into Capernaum and straightway into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. They were allowed to travel short distances on the Sabbath day. They went into town, and the first thing they did on the Sabbath day was go into the synagogue. Now, let me just very briefly put that into some of our terms and say, on that Lord's Day, he went into the church. It was that you had the temple in Jerusalem, but in each of the cities, there was a local synagogue, a local house of prayer, a local place of worship. The people, the men in particular, would gather and would sit together in that, and there would be a master of the synagogue. There would be a main teacher of the synagogue. But if visitors came, Jewish men from other places came, then the master of the synagogue would give them the scroll and they could read and call attention. We find that Jesus is spoken of doing that on some other occasion. But they went in to the synagogue and talked. It's interesting to me that that's mentioned first before all of the other things that unfold. He went in. They went in. Now, when they got in, there were other people there. And they watched. Later on, they were astonished at what happened. But I want you to notice, folks, that they, Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, and John, his brother, they went in with Jesus. You see, the importance of that, brothers and sisters, is that very often in our life, as Jesus leads us as his disciples, as his followers, he leads us into experiences that other people watch. The world around will see the witness. Other people will see the testimony. But we're there too. Don't ever assume, beloved, that what happens is for somebody else. You're there to get the message. They heard Peter, James, John, Andrew. They heard Jesus teach. And it was for their life. The awesomeness of what God does is witnessed in the world. But folks, it's also witnessed in our spirit. Paul said in Romans, that God's Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. He witnesses to us when we watch what He does in His creation round about us. Jesus leads us into situations that demonstrate His power, His wisdom, the things that we need to know just like everybody else around. Very quickly, turn over to John chapter 2 just a moment. I want you to watch something that Jesus led His disciples into. John chapter 2 is a record that we're given of a marriage feast. The indication is that it was likely to have been some part of Jesus' earthly relatives. Mary and Joseph were both from the area of Nazareth and Galilee, and this was in Cana of Galilee, and it was likely to have been a special occasion. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and His disciples were invited. Notice beginning at verse 3. And when they wanted wine, when the wedding feast ran out of wine, we might or might not partake of it, but what happens if you go into a place and you're having fried chicken and biscuits and all that good stuff, and all of a sudden you run out of sweet tea? You know, you're looking around and saying, now what are we going to do? Well, that statement that said they wanted wine, they lacked it. They looked around and the people that were responsible for it were scratching their head, as it were, and say, now what are we going to do? And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to Him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Boy, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? What does Jesus say to your life today? Whatever He, as a reason that I'm saying this, because it goes back to what was said about Him in Mark. Whatever He says, do it. Why? Because He is one that has the authority. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 perkins apiece. Basically, it was said that there were about 9, what measure, our measurements, about 9 gallons of water in each one of those pots. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And He said to them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was, but the servants knew that drew it knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, the caterer called the groom's family, and said, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. By that time, they can't discern anything anyway. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. And why? And manifested forth His glory, and His disciples, what? Believed on Him. His glory, His power was manifested in front of everybody that was there. If the governor of the feast knew that what Jesus had provided was better than what they'd had, other people that got to taste it knew that they had something better than what they'd had before. But what was it said about His disciples? His disciples believed on Him. Now, they were already following him, but their faith was strengthened by watching the same things that others experienced. Folks, when you come to church, when you go into our synagogue, if you would, when we come to a place of worship, don't presume and say, well, I've been doing this for 40 years. I've seen it all. I don't know what God's going to do the next day. But I'll tell you this, it is that our faith would be strengthened and His glory would be manifested. And that's true for every one of us. Regardless of what the world sees, it's to strengthen our faith. Now go back with me to Mark chapter 1. And I want you to notice what happens next. Beginning at verse 21 and 22, Jesus was teaching. And they were what? Astonished at His doctrine. Now, I'm not sure specifically what doctrine, the doctrine of the resurrection, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of repentance. The fact of the matter is, it was His teaching. That's what the word doctrine means. They heard His teaching. He taught them. And they were amazed because He taught them as one having authority. Folks, when you come in and you hear the Word of God, is it routine to you? Is it just the same thing again to you? Or do you understand that every time that the Word of Jesus is given to us, by the way, all Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, all Scripture is given under the inspiration of God. It's given by His very breath. And it's profitable for doctrine, not just, oh, the doctrines of grace. That's a wonderful part of it. But there's the doctrine of God's wrath. There's the doctrine of God's judgment. There's the teaching in Scripture of a lot of things. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine. But do you understand that when the man who stands in front of you, today it happens to be me, there are other men who have stood here before me, and there are others that may stand here after me, if God tarries His coming of Jesus. But I'll tell you one thing. When you stand here with this book, it is with the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks His Word with authority. It's not, well, old so-and-so said this, and this philosopher said that, and this for, well, see, the scribes would pull up all these things that other people said. Jesus just flat told it like it was, straight from the Lord Himself. You see, the Word of God has His authority with it. He speaks to us through Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times, differing times, and diverse manners, differing ages, and different men, from Moses to Malachi, from Joshua, who was a warrior, to David, who was a poet, divers times and differing men. God spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. There's a lot of difference in the prophets. Amos, Isaiah wrote 66 chapters. Nahum wrote one. Different ways. but he spoke to all of them by the prophets, but he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He, God, spoke to us, how? By his Son. There's where the authority comes from. There's where the declaration of power comes from. It's because Jesus spoke. He was a man who came out of Nazareth, a place which had a very poor reputation. He was a man who had no home to call his own. He was a man who ate with sinners. He was a man who sat in publicans' houses. He was a man who was looked down upon by the scribes and Pharisees. And yet here was a man, the Word of God. Now folks, if he spoke, if he speaks to you today through Jesus Christ, do you understand what that means? He speaks to us with his authority, which means A, what he says is true. B, what he says is right. C, what he says is unchanging. It's perfect to start with. It doesn't need to change. But if he speaks to us, then the question becomes, how do I hear it? Do I understand his authority for my life? Do I understand his authority and his power that I need to obey? He goes on. He casts out the demon out of this man that was there. And I'm going to go through these next things very quickly. Might come back to some of them. But I want you to notice all of them in a mosaic together, the pieces. He casts out a demon out of a man who was possessed by a devil. Satan's demons. First thing, folks, understand, they're real. Satan's power is real in this world. What I want you to notice is Jesus was teaching and there was this demon who tried to shut him up. Leave us alone. Don't talk to me. I know who you are. You're the Holy One. I know who you are, but I don't want to hear. Isn't it interesting that even the devils, well, I know there's a God somewhere. Even the devils believe and tremble. He didn't believe by faith as a saving faith. He believed the truth, though, that Jesus was the Son of God, even to his own judgment. Jesus cast him out and set the man free. Folks, if the demons recognized his authority, do we recognize it in our lives? Do we try to shun him? Do we try to say to him like that demon did, oh, leave me alone. Yeah, I know, but I don't want that. Or do you hear his authority and obey? He had authority over the demonic spirits. You'll notice also that he had authority over spiritual and physical things. After they left the synagogue at Capernaum, you'll find in the next verses after that, that they went into Peter's house. And Peter's mother-in-law, his wife's mother, was sick in bed with a fever. Now, we're not talking a low-grade fever like COVID produces, a very low. We're talking about a fever that ravaged her and put her to bed. I don't know how high it was, but it was bad enough to put her into bed. She had a fever. And Jesus spoke to her, touched her, and she didn't need Tylenol. She didn't need ibuprofen. He cleared her body. Now, folks, I'm not belittling Tylenol, and I'm not belittling ibuprofen or taking medications when we are supposed to need to take them. But what I want you to see is Jesus had the authority over physical things in this world, the same as he had the authority over the demons. He didn't always heal everybody. Later on in this verse, it says that they brought, and he healed many. There were times when he walked by the porch of Bethesda at the temple in Jerusalem, and he healed one man and walked out and left the rest of them there. But it's his divine choice, and it's his wisdom to do his will. Just because he doesn't mean that he can't. He has the authority over physical as well as over spiritual. And then you can go ahead and find in verses 40 to 44, he had authority over leprosy. There was a man who was a leper. This man who had leprosy came beseeching him and kneeling and saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and was clean. Well, you said he could heal sickness. You need to understand, folks, leprosy was not just a sickness. Leprosy was a death sentence. Leprosy, in its natural progression, was a disease that caused a constant, continued, and ultimately fatal deterioration of the body. It started as little spots and grew until literally the skin would fall off the body. It's that disease that again and again and again and again and again in the Scripture is used to remind us of the condemnation of sin. So many times sin will appear in little ways, but sin is sin. And if left in its natural progression, it will grow worse, and it will separate us from God. God shows us that Jesus, and Jesus alone, has the authority over sin. There's another passage later on, I think it's in the 5th chapter, where it says that Jesus said that the Son of God had, Son of Man, had authority on earth to forgive sins. You see, brothers and sisters, the great marvel is that Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, is the one who has the authority, the power, the right, the name to forgive your sins. He calls you unto himself and he says, "Repent, take up your cross and follow me." He paid for your sin. He redeemed your body. And he has a name that is above every name. He has an authority that is over every other authority in this world. Turn with me in Philippians just a moment. I'll conclude in this passage. Philippians chapter 2. Now I want to combine this passage with a well-known passage that you've heard many times. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All authority, all dominion, all recognition is given unto Jesus. Given in the church, given in the world. Well, he was God. He had it anyway. Yes, but God demonstrated it in this world and gave him a name. Listen to what Philippians says. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now notice the next word. Wherefore? Because of his obedience, because of his humility, because of his death on the cross, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. God recognized the risen Savior as holding the authority, first of all, in the church. He's the head of the church. He has the preeminence in the church. He went on in Matthew to say, go ye therefore into all nations to teach the gospel, preach the gospel, make disciples, call men to follow me. Why? Because he had that authority. Now, if God recognizes him as having that authority in our lives, then hadn't we ought to recognize it? If God recognizes his word as truth, then ought we to recognize it? What he says is said with authority given by God. You know, there are times, brothers and sisters, that we argue with God's authority. Are you real successful when you do that? Are you real successful when you argue with a judge in court? And I don't mean prove your case. I mean argue when you have nothing to stand on. And before Jesus, we have no righteousness to stand on. He has the authority, but he also has the compassion and the love to reach out and touch us, even when we were like that leper. My word to you today, folks, is that as we see him in this book of Mark, and he goes from the synagogue into Peter's house, and into all the area round about, there's no limit to his authority. What he speaks to us at home is just as true as what he speaks to us in church. What he speaks in the marketplace is just as true as what he tells us in the privacy of my home. Jesus has the authority of truth in our lives. Now, do you stand as amazed in the presence of Jesus Christ as they stood in that synagogue? It's the same Jesus that teaches us today. It's the same Jesus that works in our life. His authority is true today. You know what that authority says? Take your cross. Follow me. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. That authority directs our lives, and it directs it to a public service of recognition in His church. It directs us to change our pride, to change our arrogance, to change our self-will. If He gives us that authority, that in His authority, then we ought to hear it. May the Lord bless us to stand amazed, astonished at the eternal authority of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to see Jesus as you see him. Help us to recognize him as you have recognized him, and that his word is the authority in our life in every capacity. Father, help us to humble our hearts today. Maybe there's one or more who's here that needs to take that public step. If there is, Father, give them strength and faith. Father, help us to hear Your Word as the authority in our life. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.